Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Vajure.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you, my elder. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing very good. God is good always. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. Indeed, I can testify. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're going to be together with you the next couple of days talking about this belief, the death and resurrection. Now, Satan deceived our first parents by using the serpent to lie about God. He continues to lie about our loving God and uses any means that he can to lead us to doubt his love. And one of the greatest deceptions told to our first parents all the way down to their present generations around the state of the dead and what it means to die. To this day, we still hear the idea that we will not surely die, but we want to understand this week, what exactly does the Bible say? So, my elder, what is our biblical understanding of death and what happens to us after that death?
My brother, like when we look to the Bible, you know, we find something that's very different from what the world often believes. And when we look at the Bible, we see that the Bible is consistently describing death not as a torture, death not as a ghostly afterlife situation, and not as like a reincarnation, but the Bible describes death as a sleep. And even when we look at Jesus himself, he used imagery in the when we study scripture, when he spoke of his friend Lazarus in John 11, verse 11, he says, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." And a few verses later, he explains plainly, he says, "Lazarus is dead." So that shows us the thought of Jesus's mind and also throughout scripture that death is like a sleep. It is a state of unconscious rest. And it's not a state of like ongoing activity or ongoing awareness. Even when you look at the wise man Solomon, he tells us in Ecclesiastes 9:5, he says, "The living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." And even in the book of Psalms, it says the dead do not, they don't praise the Lord. Now, this is it's a powerful and comforting truth, especially for myself, to know that death is not awareness of what's going on around you, but it's a rest. So the dead are not aware. They are not watching us. They are not wanting us. They are not even praising God. They are just simply asleep waiting for the resurrection. And maybe to better understand this question and to answer this question, I can put it this way. It's like, have you ever had a day when you've been like, you've worked very hard and you go home, it's in the night and you're really tired and you take you lie down on from that exhausting day, you close your eyes and in the next moment you're aware of it's in the morning.
Yeah.
You didn't feel how many hours passed by. That's what the Bible says death is like. It's like a peaceful sleep, a quiet moment, and you wait until the trumpet sounds when Jesus returns. So this teaching is not meant to scare us, and it's meant to give us peace. So we don't need to imagine that our loved ones are suffering somewhere in fire or floating around in the clouds watching our every move. The Bible tells us that they are safely at rest, asleep in Jesus, waiting for the trumpet.
And why does death exist in the first place? I mean, God comes, creates, and every time he creates, he says it was good. Every time he creates, it was good. Never did he create death as we read the creation. So it wasn't part of God's plan. Where did it come from?
Now, that's a very good question, because if death is asleep, we're obviously going to ask the question, why do we die at all? You know, if God is a God of love, and if God created a perfect world, as you've stated, why does something as painful, something as tragic, something as final as death, why does it exist? Was death ever part of God's plan? And I was thinking about this, and you know, the Bible gives us a clear answer. And the answer, my brother, is no. Death was never part of God's original design, because when God created Adam and Eve, he made them to live forever. He made them to live in a perfect joy, in a perfect peace, in a perfect communion with him forever. Eden was a paradise. It was, there wasn't pain, there wasn't disease, suffering, or even death. So the world that God made was not, it wasn't meant to end in funerals. It wasn't meant to end with goodbyes or people going to the grave, but something changed. And when you look at Romans 5:12, Paul explains it. He says, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and through death spread to all men, because all have sinned. And Romans 6:23, Paul plainly says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So death was not something that God wanted for us. It was the tragic result of sin. Mm. So when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, mm-hmm. when they chose to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered the world like a virus. And that virus brought death. It came along with sin, and it has spread throughout humanity ever since. Death has touched every family, every nation. It's touched every single generation. And you can think of it like a beautiful garden, if I can put it that way, a thriving garden, a lush, vibrant garden that's full of life. And every tree, every flower, every fruit was perfectly designed. Then all of a sudden, this poisonous weed called sin begins to spread in that garden, and it chokes the life out of the roots. It spoils the fruit. It slowly takes over once what was perfect. And that's what sin did in Eden. It brought death into a living world, and nothing has been the same ever since. So, you know, someone might ask me to say, like, okay, fine, brother, I hear what you're saying, but if God is all powerful, if God is all knowing, how could death even exist? Like, you know, can anything really exist outside of God's plan? And the answer is nothing actually exists outside of God's sovereignty. But everything that happens does not always reflect his desire or his will. So in other words, God did not create death, but he allowed it to happen because he created us with the freedom to choose. So you see, like,
you're saying that he did not create it, he allowed it to happen. So which means that it was somewhere lurking somewhere, if you're saying he allowed it to happen. Where was it?
You know, God is a God of love, and love cannot exist, my brother, without freedom, without the freedom to choose. And imagine if God had programmed us as to obey him like robots. There wouldn't be a rebellion. We wouldn't be in this situation, but there would also not be love. So God gave us freedom, and with that freedom came the risk, and the risk that we would choose wrongly, which we did. And Adam and Eve, they exercised their freedom, and we unfortunately have also followed in their footsteps. But the good news, though death was a consequence of that, God was not caught off guard. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that means that before sin and death even entered the picture, God had already made a plan to rescue us from it. So a plan not just to forgive us, but one to erase death forever. So yes, death is real. Death is painful. We lose people that we love. We grieve, we cry, we feel that emptiness, you know, but for the Christian, death is not permanent. It's not the end of the story. So Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality through the gospel, according to Timothy. So just to close up on that question, I can say that, you know, Jesus came to undo what sin has done it, and he did it at the cross, and he bore the full weight of our rebellion, and he died the death we deserve so we can live the life he deserved. He didn't just suffer for us, he conquered the grave. So when Jesus returns, the dead will in Christ will rise. And in that moment when they rise, death, that great enemy that has plagued this earth for 6,000 years, will be destroyed, and never again will it touch God's people. So yes, death is tragic, but it's not forever. It wasn't part of God's plan in the beginning, and it won't be part of his kingdom in the end. He allowed it just for one time because of sin, but through Jesus, he will bring a complete and glorious end to it.
Now, some people believe in purgatory, reincarnation, immortality of the soul, and the afterlife, etc., etc. We can name them. Where do these beliefs come from, if you know, and why are we so sure about our own belief?
You know, my brother, many people today, they are confused about what happens after death in the world. There's ideas like what you mentioned about purgatory or reincarnation or even the immortal soul. Those are common ideas. But the key question that we need to ask is, are those ideas biblical? So personally, and I think corporately as an Adventist, we believe in sola scriptura, which is the Bible and the Bible alone as our foundation, as our source of light. And that the Bible brings light regarding this topic. Now, purgatory, if I can just touch on it, maybe for our listeners, just so that they can have a picture of it. Purgatory actually teaches that after death, the soul goes to a place of suffering before it goes to a place of suffering to be purified before entering heaven. So, but the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27 that it was appointed for men to die once. And after this, the judgment. So there's no area or means in the Bible that shows there's a second chance after death. Because Jesus, his sacrifice cleanses us now. We need to accept him now whilst we're still alive, not after death. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. And if purgatory was something that was real, it would mean that Christ's sacrifice was not enough. But the scripture tells us that Christ's sacrifice is. So there is no burning off of sins after death before you go to heaven. Then reincarnation. You know, that's an idea that when you die, you come back to life as another being or an animal, you know, in another form. And that comes from Hinduism. That comes from the New Age beliefs. It's not something that we find in the Bible. Like I said, you die once according to Hebrews, then the judgment. So reincarnation actually teaches that it teaches salvation through repeated life, repeated lives. It teaches salvation through karma. So the more time that you spend being reincarnated, the purer you become until you elevate to heaven. But the Bible teaches salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. So we don't save ourselves, Jesus saves us. And maybe the last one I can touch on there, it's the immortal soul. Many people, especially Christians, they believe that the soul lives on after death. But 1 Timothy 6:16 says that only God is immortal. So human beings are mortal, meaning that we die. And when we look at the way that God formed man from the dust, and he breathed into him the breath of life. Man, the result of that combination was a living soul. So we don't have souls. We are a soul. And Ecclesiastes says that the body returns to dust and the breath returns to God. So the soul, meaning you and I, the person, ceases to exist until the resurrection. So I can give you an example. Just to close that off, if you look at a light bulb, a light bulb and electricity. So the bulb is like the body and the electricity is the breath of life. And the combination of the bulb and the electricity produces light, produces a living soul. Mm-hmm. So when you remove that electricity, the light goes away. That's what happens at death. So there's no soul that's floating around somewhere. The soul is at rest, awaiting the resurrection. Now, why does this matter so much to me? It matters because there's so much false beliefs about death, like purgatory, reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And that is distorting the gospel, because when you believe in these other forms of death, they remove the need of a resurrection. They suggest that salvation by suffering, or salvation by, you know, your self-effort. And they open people up to spiritual deception. Like communicating with the dead, which is something that God said we shouldn't do. So if we reject purgatory, we need to reject purgatory. Why? Because Jesus' blood is enough. We need to reject reincarnation. Why? Because we are saved by grace, not by cycles of life. And we need to reject the issue of immortal soul, because God is the only one that's immortal, and we will receive our immortality when Jesus comes.
Mm. Now, you mentioned earlier that people have spoken to dead people. And I must say that some claim actually to have even seen them or spoken to them.
Yes.
So what are you suggesting with that? Are they lying? Are they hallucinating? What's happening there?
You know, I think that with that question, we're touching a very tender part of the human experience, especially for myself.
Mm.
Because I experienced a situation where a family member spoke in a voice of my great-grandfather and said certain things that only he would know, you understand?
Mm.
And many people have had this truly heartfelt stories, real emotional encounters, where they believe that they've actually seen or spoken to a deceased loved one. And these experiences, they feel so real, they feel so vivid, they feel so convincing that it's very difficult for them to believe that it's not anything other than the loved one that they've lost.
Mm.
And as a Christian, we don't want to mock, we don't want to minimize, you know, their grief or their sincerity, but ultimately we must gently and clearly ask, what does the Bible say?
Mm.
Because scripture warns us to be on the guard against spiritual deception, especially in these last days.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
In 2 Corinthians 11:14, we're told that Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And in Revelation 16:14, we are told that evil spirits go out performing signs and miracles and wonders to deceive. So what does this mean for those who claim to have seen their dead relatives? I can say that according to the Bible, it's not truly their loved ones. It's demonic impersonation. It's a deceptive appearance meant to lead people away from the truth, away from the Bible, away from God, to believe in other forms of religion. And this is why understanding what happens at death is not just a nice theological detail to know about, but it's actually spiritual protection. Because when we know that the dead are sleeping, when we know that my loved one is unconscious, waiting for the resurrection, then we can be confident that no one, not even my grandfather or my spouse or my child, can return and speak to us. So the dead do not come back to visit the living. So imagine it this way. It's like a skilled impersonator that wears a costume, a convincing costume of someone that you once knew or that you once loved. And he looks and he sounds just like your best friend. They know those personal things that your friend would only know. But the truth is, they are not your friend at all. It's someone that's using an identity to trick you. And that's what Satan does with his fallen angels. They follow you around and they know your history. They observe from the outside. They copy the mannerisms. They use the memories that you've created. And they create this emotional connection that seems real, but it's a lie. And in between that sandwich of you being visually disorientated by this ghostly figure, he adds a lie into that. So that's why God lovingly gives us the instruction not to speak to the dead in Deuteronomy. It's not that he wants us not to have comfort from speaking to the dead, but he knows the danger and he knows Satan's trap. And he knows that Satan's trap is designed to turn hearts away from God's truth. So if it's not your grandma, it's not your husband or your wife that had passed on. It's a deception. And the safest thing, my brother, is to trust God's word. And when we build our belief on God's word, we are protected from this powerful deception, this delusion that the enemy is preparing. And knowing the truth about death will help God's people to remain anchored when Satan tries to manipulate our emotions with lies.
Elder Fajure, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. That's a mouthful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll connect with you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you, my brother, and thank you to all our listeners, and God bless. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.